Well, if you would turn with me once again, please, to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6. And our text for this evening is verse 12, which alone we shall read. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The principalities and powers is our subject this evening, and of course that is under our total heading of the armour of God. That we war against flesh and blood, surely, without question. There is our own corrupt and sinful and wicked natures that remain, even though there be grace in Jesus Christ there. Plus the pressures of a godless society. But over and above that, we believe the word of God at this place, the personality and the power of Satan, and the actuality of an organized kingdom of evil, and we emphasize the organized. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Organized. Hosts of evil arrayed against the kingdom of God and his Christ and his people. We must see in their operations, behind them, behind men, that is, nations and events, we must see these operations of evil. Great triumphs they make in this world in the affairs of men, which of course can be seen even in our own society today in terms of the awful spiritual blindness, the godless humanism, and the moral dissolution of our society. But the greatest triumph, of course, of Satan and his kingdom is amongst those who have no sense whatsoever of their eternally derelict state and condition. Evil and its power are facts. We're talking about objective evil and power, something outside of ourselves. We're not speaking about personality defects, but an objective reality of evil and an organized kingdom of evil. It cannot be explained in human, biological, or psychological terms. So here in verse 12, our first point this evening is the spiritual warfare in which we find ourselves amidst. Again, this is not just the clash of human personalities and philosophies, not even the clash just of belief and unbelief, though those would be means. That the powers of evil and darkness, of course, would use to bring about their purposes in God's earth. We are up against omnipresent, persistent, sleepless malignity of evil forces. That's what verse 12 is about, and that's what we are taught here by the Apostle Paul in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. This is what you're up against in the Christian life, and this is the evil that besets the lives of many men and women. The Bible is absolutely clear concerning the world's order, that it is under the sway of such evil. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 we read, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, that is to say, under the sway of these powers of darkness, of which we read here in our text this evening. And then, of course, as we have already seen in our Sabbath morning studies, in Revelation 12 and verse 12, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Satan has been cast out of heaven. He roams the earth. He's like a devouring lion, and he has an organized kingdom at the back of him. And therefore the whole world, the world's ethos, is under his sway. And his pressure, of course, their pressure is contrary to that of God. The world's pressure, I mean, and the world that that they use. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That world and its ethos is under the sway of these powers of wickedness, principalities and powers that are arrayed against the people of God. And of course we are therefore urged by the Apostle Paul not to allow ourselves to be seduced by the world. And of course it's the demonic, the principalities of powers who influence its ethos, the patterns, our mindsets are not, says Paul, to be squeezed into its mould. If you turn back to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul there says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed," that is, squeezed into the mould, "be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Remember that we are living in a world, and a world's ethos, that has not just forgotten God, but has rejected God. We must recognize the spirit of lawlessness, and that is anti-God and anti-Christian in the world in which we live. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That spirit of lawlessness and the spirit of Antichrist, John, he tells us in 2 John verse 7, is already abroad in the world. So the world, its ethos is under the sway of these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. And of course the world's activity, this is a whole organized kingdom of evil with its agents in the world. And so we must not be surprised when we see things that we see in our own day and generation today. both spirit and human, actively at work against God, contrary to God, His law, His word, His gospel, and against all who profess allegiance to God. And we must remind ourselves that the main objective is not us, not us, though He hates us, they hate us for Christ's sake, but they will disturb and they will destroy us simply and only because we belong to Jesus Christ. That will always be the world's activity, to come against the people of God because they belong to God. And so here you see the forces, you see the powers that arrayed against us here in our text this evening. And you see, you see how the wiles of the devil, they are performed, they are executed, they operate not just by Satan himself, but by this organized kingdom, these hordes of filthy demons that range through the world and stand against and are opposed, who are utterly devoted to your downfall as a Christian. Because he'll use anybody and anything. He'll even use you to bring another Christian down. Given the chance, he will use you to bring down not only another Christian, but even this work of God. He can use you to destroy this church. All he has to do is to get hold of your mind. That's all. Well does the apostle tell us to resist the devil, not to give place to the devil, but to resist, to oppose him with every fiber of our being. There's a question for you this evening. Someone has suggested to me already that in the fellowship here, that we were just a mite too close, too short in closing that front door. The devil has already got in amongst you. So you must search your own hearts and minds. And you must ask yourself, who is it that you're being used of? God? Or these principalities, these powers of wickedness and darkness? Their objective is to harm God, but of course they can't touch God because He is almighty, He is all powerful. And so they come at God's work and they come at God's people. And then, of course, when they have used somebody, when they have obtained their purpose, they will just cast you off without any mercy and without any reward. Just as Judas was left in the darkness and with no recourse but to suicide. We must... No matter the complexities and the activities of these powers of darkness and wickedness, we must of course remember that we are up against, that we are facing a defeated kingdom. But that aside, the only way that we can remain in the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection, is by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Resisting the devil, putting on Christ, because that's what it means to put on the armour of God. There is no fear in this, but we simply stand, and as long as we stand in Jesus Christ, we are absolutely safe and sound. We have nothing to do but simply stand, having done all, stand therefore, says Paul, verse 14, and having done all that you can to stand, you just stand, because Jesus Christ himself will take care of the rest, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. But we have to say something about the spiritual attraction of these powers of darkness, this spiritual wickedness. Because we do tend to think of evil, we do tend to think of Satan, and of course of his activities and his demonic hordes. We do tend to think of them as being ugly. You know, we have that picture, you know, the music hall picture, as it were, of the devil, you know, with a tail and with a fork in his hand, you know, and horns sticking out of his head, you know, and how he would love you to believe that that is, you know, Satan. He works in terms of men's intellect, aesthetics, culture, even religious values. Nothing, absolutely nothing for him to put one of his own men, or women, in a Christian pulpit. The development of sin is seen in what we call the civilized world. And these powers of darkness, they use all the intellectual and scientific capacities of men. The manifestation of Satan will be brilliant, will be dazzling, will be attractive. It will have such an hypnotic aura, such a shine of brilliance, that it will draw billions, hordes of men and women after him. So lest we have discernment, lest we understand the spiritual warfare and something of the spiritual attractions that these demonic hordes place before us, well, maybe unless we are clothed upon with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the armor of God, maybe we too would be drawn after him. We're talking about diabolical power. I was talking to a friend last Sabbath afternoon, and we were just saying how that, you know, some preachers are want to be quoting Hebrew and Greek, and really it's, well, not for all, but for some it's just they're just manifesting their own cleverness. It doesn't really help anybody. But when I speak about diabolical power, if I tell you that the Greek word for diabolical is diabolos, which is of course the Greek word for the devil, that's where we get the word diabolical from. When I say diabolical power, what I mean is devilish power. Yeah? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickednesses, wickedness in high places, diabolical power. He's like the Pied Piper, you know, and they all go running after him. Sight, sound, appearance, desirability. Think of King David, a man after God's own heart. Yeah? And Diabolus can make Bathsheba look so desirable that it brings the King of Israel, a man who loves God with all his heart, crashing down into the pits of sin and disgrace. It'll captivate the mind. And if you've got a person's mind, you've got the person. You see, this is why God addresses people by his word. Yeah? He doesn't speak to people directly today, immediately. He speaks to us through his word and his word alone. He addresses our minds, and the only way into a nation or into a people or into a person is through their minds. Remember that stupid phrase that they used to bandy about, the way into a man's heart through his stomach? Well, it might be for some, but not for intelligent, godly people. The way into a person is through their mind. And the only way that Christians, the church in this land, will ever win this nation is when it gets the nation's mind. That is when the church becomes intelligent. That is when we can at last get a bunch of people together in a church who want to be educated and want to listen to and want to obey God's word and not just do the things that they want to do. Like laughing and joking and clapping and singing stupid songs and playing rock and roll music. Serious worship, sitting at God's feet and learning from God's book, educated in our minds. We are to glorify God with our minds. If Satan can get hold of your mind, he has got you. And he is capable of conditioning your mind and the patterns of your thinking. And this is how he extends his hideous kingdom tenfold. How do you go about poisoning a lake? If you've got a lake and you want to poison the whole lake, how do you go about it? Do you get a bucket of poison, a bucket of arsenic, and go to the side of the lake and just drop it in? Well, you'd need an awful lot of buckets of water, wouldn't you? You'd have to keep going back again and again and again, probably the rest of your days. No, if you want to poison that whole lake, what you do is you go up the stream, you go to the source, you go to the fountain, and you poison the fountain, and the stream will do the rest, it'll poison the whole lake. You want to poison a nation? Where do you go? You go to the primary schools, the secondary schools, the colleges and the universities. You go to the fountain, you go to the source of the nation, and you poison the minds of the children, and they eventually grow up and carry the wickedness, the evil, the doctrines of Satan out into every area of society. You poison the whole society. That's how his diabolical power has worked in this nation. He has infiltrated the schools. He's got rid of the Bible out of the schools. Out of the universities. Unbelieving, godless men and women. Teaching at the source, at the fountain. And poisoning the entirety of the nation. Mind, beloved, the mind. So you see the disaster of the fall and the outworking of it. The development and the fruition of sin in civilization, as we so call it today. And of course leading towards the consummation of history. The evil of brilliance and attractiveness for men and women. The attraction is to deny Christ, rebelling against God. We don't need God. We will ascend up into the heavens. There's no limits to what we can do, what man can do. Now, we don't need God. Man, we can put rockets in the moon. No limit to what man can do. We can be, Genesis 3 verse 5, we can be as gods. So they oust God from his throne. Sovereignty of man. Beloved, the powers of evil are for real. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a determined wickedness. You see, read through the Gospels again if you will, and see clearly in the personal experience of Jesus. He comes at the Lord in the desert, he leaves him until an opportune time, but he comes back and back again, relentlessly determined wickedness. You will see it. You will see his wiles manifested in those who obey God, because he will come against them with such a vengeance as you would not believe. If you are determined to be right with Jesus Christ, to obey God, to be submissive to the leadership of his church, and build his kingdom here in this place, believe me, you are in for trouble, spiritual trouble. You will not have an easy ride. You want a cushy church? You need to go somewhere else. The tensions, maledictions, tormentings, accusations, brutal assaults, crafty corruptions of the Prince of Hell himself. You will need to be armed if you are going to build God's kingdom here in this place. This you may have noticed already, but let me make it clear, this is a spiritual warning. It's needed at Full Chapel this evening. But our text is a spiritual warning, is it not? Because it's a text that will help us when we are forced, when we are faced with people who are ruthless and merciless, who are determined to work and speak against us and against the gospel work. Because if we can see that they are just simply men and women who are tools, instruments, who are dupes of Satan, that the human ferocity does not stem from them, but from this spiritual wickedness that is behind them and driving them. Perhaps then, maybe, we'll be enabled to cope with them and with some understanding. But that aside, there is no excuses. None at all. But we must be understanding, because this will help us. This will help us. We're not bothered about the people who are doing the business. That will help us with the personal hurt and the grief that we feel that we have to bear when we are come against by such evil. We must realize that there are evil people who sometimes are taken unaware, who are taken captive, and Paul says blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the god of this world, which is Satan of course, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Those who believe not. Those who believe not, of course, are extremely vulnerable to the powers of evil and darkness. But as a reminder, it's a warning to us that we're not wrestling just against flesh and blood, our own and others, but a worldwide network of evil, of principalities and powers of the darkness. We must we must fully grasp that the conflict is beyond the confines of this world. It extends to heavenly places. That's where the battle is fought and won or lost. Such concepts, of course, stretch our minds, are beyond the limits of our understanding, our comprehension. But you know, we live in a day, do we not, when there's an awful lot of unseen activity in space. There are satellites that are orbiting the planet Earth, which we inhabit even at this time that I speak of, that you and I know nothing about, that are watching and watching every detail, everything that we do, everywhere we go, and everything, maybe even that we say. That they have the technology, that they have the power to home in on our computers, our telephones, and just about everything and anything. The development of technology is scary, to say the least. And it's an area that Satan, believe me, and these spiritual powers of wickedness, you can guarantee that they will be homed in on. So we are ripe, you see, if you think about it and you consider seriously our studies in the book of Revelation on Sabbath mornings, the development of a totalitarian state. The Hunger Games is just a piece of Hollywood fiction, but the Antichrist's totalitarian regime in the book of Revelation is no strange fiction. It's reality. And the development and the installing of a totalitarian state and the sovereignty of man, well, it would seem to me that all is ripe and ready for the coming of the Antichrist. But having said all that, maybe, I don't know, I've frightened you to death, or maybe even hopefully frightened you to life. We do not fear. This entire kingdom of principalities and of powers, I remind you, have been defeated. And we have been shown that it is so. If you turn over a page or two, to the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. By the cross at Calvary, Jesus spoiled, he took captivity. He spoiled these demonic forces, these principalities, these powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. He took them captive. But that's the warning, you see, in Colossians chapter 2. Beware, says Paul, take heed that you don't become Satan's captive. You be careful, he says, you be careful that you stand in Jesus Christ and that you build on Jesus Christ. And this goes back to the subject of education, does it not? There's some people think that for a person to be in Jesus, that's the sum and total of it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Well, it does. Colossians 2 verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ, that's the starting point, yeah? Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him. And then what? Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, a foundation to build on, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, 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 that warning again, lest any man spoil you through all kinds of things. Yeah? Jesus defeated these powers of darkness in his death and resurrection. Plus, of course, there is no suggestion anywhere in Scripture in the Bible that the throne of God is in any way, any shape or form disturbed or uncertain, let alone assailed or toppled. The God of peace reigns. There is no doubt about that. The Lamb of God, the Lord's anointed, is standing on Mount Zion. And all his people, his elect on the earth, are round about him, and they are all of them perfectly safe. And God, at the back of all that, sits on his throne, laughing in derision at these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places, and those who are his agents in this world. God in derision laughs them to scorn, because he will bring them to an end and destroy every one of them, and he will bring all of his people to glory. Our place is to educate ourselves, is to be built up in the faith, and to understand. Hence Paul gives us this very teaching here in our text this evening, Ephesians 6 verse 12, that we understand clearly, that we discern what it is that we are up against, the warfare that we are in, and our need to be armed, our need to be protected. And the only one who can protect us against such personal evil and wickedness is our Lord Jesus Christ, walking in him, rooted and built up in him. Amen.